But while it is a heart-warming letter, at the same time, hope we'll see that it's a heart-searching letter too. Because it should move us to consider the state of our own hearts before the Lord. And not just before the Lord, but the state of our hearts towards one another. Even our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I do hope that by God's help we will search our hearts as we consider this letter. But above all, I hope that we'll see how in this letter, set before us is the one who is at the heart of the gospel, the one who our hearts need above all, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a fragrance to this letter. I hope you'll see it as we work through it, and I hope you'll be left with it as we consider the letter together. It's a sweet fragrance, and it's no other fragrance than that of Christ, the fragrance of Christ. Now, by way of context, as I've mentioned, the letter was written by Paul. It was written by Paul while he was under arrest and imprisoned in Rome. He begins saying, "Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus." This is towards the end of his ministry while he was there in Rome. And he was writing to Philemon. Philemon was most likely from the city of Colossae. And Paul describes him there in verse 1 as a beloved fellow worker. A fellow worker in the kingdom of God. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's main purpose for writing to Philemon was to make an appeal. Philemon was a man of God, as I've said, but it seems he was also a man of wealth. He had servants in his household, for example. And it so happened that Paul had come into contact with one of Philemon's servants who'd actually fled from the household and made his way to Rome. And so Paul was going to make an appeal in connection with that man. And while we'll come to that appeal later as we work through the letter, this morning I want us to note first how, like in many of his letters, before Paul gets to the main business at hand or the main purpose for writing, he begins with some words of thanksgiving and commendation. He begins by commending Philemon, and he commends him for his love. Verse 4, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of your faith." Love and faith, they're an inseparable pair, are they not? You cannot say this morning, "I believe in the Lord," without also being able to say, "I love the Lord." If you can say this morning, "I love the Lord, I truly love the Lord," then surely you can also say, "I believe in the Lord." But as Paul commends Philemon for his love and for his faith, you note it's not just a love towards the Lord. He says, "I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints." Here we see another inseparable pair. As we love the Lord, flowing from that, there's a love for our neighbor. You can't have one without the other. And of course, as we're called to love our neighbor, we're called to love especially the saints of God, the household of God. And Paul speaks of hearing of Philemon's love. And as I mentioned, Paul was in Rome. He was a long way away from Philemon, as I said, most likely in the city of Colossae. But evidently, news had come to Paul of Philemon showing great love towards the church, showing true and genuine expressions of love towards the people of God in that place. We're not told exactly what Philemon did, but we're told that he was acting in love. This is very fitting when we consider the meaning of Philemon's name. The name Philemon essentially means loving. And so as Paul was commending him here at the beginning of the letter, there may well be a play on words. As Paul was essentially saying to Philemon, I commend you by God's grace for living up to your name and living in a loving manner. And Paul then speaks of praying that this would continue to be blessed. And in verse 7, after saying that in verse 6, Paul comes to speak of how Philemon's love had already been blessed or been used to be a blessing. This is what I really want us to consider on this morning. He says in verse 7, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. The hearts of the saints, Philemon, they've been refreshed through you. And from what Paul says here, as he heard of this, it seems that his own heart had been refreshed as well. It's beautiful language, is it not? Being refreshed, the people of God being refreshed. And we should remember how often the scriptures speak of the people of God, we the people of God, as plants. We sang in Psalm 1 of how the righteous are like trees planted by a river. In John 15, Christ spoke of himself as the true vine. And we, the people of God, are attached to that vine. We are abiding in the vine. And so, like any plant, we, the people of God, don't just need to be planted, but we need to be watered. To put it differently, we don't just need to be redeemed, but we need to be refreshed. We need to be sustained along the way. And here in verse 7, here in this commendation, we are reminded of one of the ways in which the Lord is pleased to refresh us and to sustain us in the Christian life. Love, through true and genuine expressions of love. And so that's what we'll consider for the rest of our time this morning. How does love refresh? How can we be refreshed through love? Well, at the heart of loving is giving, is it not? In loving, there's always a giving, and with that, a receiving. And so firstly, we can see that love refreshes because love gives joy. Love gives joy or breeds joy. Surely we all know times when we are feeling low and when we are in need of a lift. But surely we could also all reflect on times when an act of love by someone towards us has given us that lift. Not just lifting our countenance in terms of putting a smile on our face, but lifting our very hearts. And that's what Paul speaks of here. He says, the hearts of the saints, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. That word literally in Greek is the bowels of the saints, which may seem a strange word to use, but what it's really speaking of is the depths of the inner man of the saints. The affections of the saints, their hearts, they've been stirred up and they've been refreshed. You see, what's touched upon here and what we're reminded of here is that there's a depth to love. There's a depth to love. Philemon's expressions of love were coming from a place of depth. There was a depth to their source, coming from and flowing from his faith, coming from the inner man of Philemon, so to speak. But so too we see here that there was a depth, not just to the source of the love, but to the effect of the love. As it didn't just affect the saints in their outer man, but in the inner man, refreshing their hearts. Refreshing their hearts. And it seems, as Paul speaks here, that it was refreshing his own heart. As he says, I have derived much joy in hearing of this. I have derived much joy in hearing of this. We have to remember the context. Paul was enduring difficulty at this time. He was going through trials and tribulations. He was under house arrest in Rome. He had the world after him, seeking to oppress him, seeking to stop him and thwart his ministry. He knew struggles, perhaps more than we ever will. But such is the power and the depth of the love of the Lord as it works through his people and in his people. Even in that time and in the midst of his experiences, Paul was able to know joy in his heart as he heard of the love that Philemon had been showing to the church. He heard of Philemon sowing the seeds of love, and this refreshed his heart. It gave joy to Paul. In his own heart. It lifted his heart. We should remember that love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And if we think about fruit for a moment, if you were to take an apple and then to take the seeds or the pips from the apple, you'd maybe plant them in the ground and hope that one day an apple tree would come forth. But you see, it would only be an apple tree that you would hope for. You wouldn't hope for an orange tree or a pear tree because it's an apple seed or an apple pip that you put into the ground. And yes, here, as Philemon sowed the seeds of love, that may have brought forth the fruit of love in the hearts of others. I'm sure as Paul heard of this, he grew in his love for Philemon, his beloved fellow worker. I'm sure the saints who received, who were the direct recipients of that love, would have grown in their love for Philemon and perhaps been moved to grow in their love for others and to show such love to others themselves. But what we see from what Paul says, having derived much joy, is that as Philemon sowed those seeds of love, it didn't just bring forth the fruit of love in the hearts of others, but it also brought forth the fruit of joy. It brought forth the fruit of joy in Paul's own heart. How could that be so? Well, it's because joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. So as the Spirit was dwelling in Philemon and working through Philemon, so the Spirit was dwelling in Paul and working in Paul, not just bringing forth the fruit of love, but also the fruit of joy. You know, it can be very hard to love. I can acknowledge that. I'm sure every one of you, if you're honest, can acknowledge that. And at times it can be very hard to love God's people. It's a sad reality. It shouldn't be so. But because of the sinfulness of man and ourselves first and foremost, we can find it very difficult to love the people of God. And if you're struggling with that, or if you're in a particular situation where you're struggling with that, remember how sweet a fruit love is. And remember how sweet the fruit is that it brings, even joy. To use a different image, to move from fruit to water, we could say that the more the waters of love pour forth from our hearts and pour forth and flow in our midst, the more springs of joy will rise. And that will be refreshing to the church of Christ in our day, all by the grace and the power of God. So love refreshes because love gives joy. But secondly, it refreshes because it gives comfort. Paul doesn't just say, I have derived much joy, but I have derived much joy and comfort from your love. Genuine love, true love, doesn't just lift up. It comes alongside. It comes alongside. This word comfort here, at root, is the same word that's used to speak of the Holy Spirit given to us. As Christ spoke to the disciples of giving the Spirit, he spoke of giving a comforter, giving a helper, giving one who comes alongside, comes into our hearts, calls alongside the people of God. And at times, that's what we need most, is it not? In our trials, in our tribulations, and really at all times in life, we need people who come alongside. I remember when I first applied to go into the ministry, a very wise man, a wise elder that I knew, he gave me one piece of advice, and he said, sometimes people just need you to listen. Sometimes people just need you to listen. And connected to that, surely we could say, sometimes people just need us to be there. Just need us to be present with them. That was seen in Job's life, was it not? He went to depths in his experience that, again, perhaps not any of us will go to. I hope not. And then his friends came. And for the first week, they were wonderful comforters to Job. They didn't say a word, but they were with him. They were alongside him. They became miserable comforters when they started to speak. And so too, God, he comforts us at times by simply reminding us that he's present with us. Just recently, I was preaching in a congregation where there were only 6 people present. And that could discourage you as you gather with such a low number of people. But then we have scripture verses like Matthew 18, where we're told, where 2 or 3 are gathered in the name of the Lord, he dwells in the midst of his people. What comfort. Not just knowing that a person is with you, but knowing that the living God is present with you. And all that to say, Philemon had essentially come alongside these saints in some way. Again, we don't know how, but he'd come alongside them. And surely this had been a comfort to them in whatever they were going through, and refreshing to their hearts. And evidently, it was a comfort to Paul, all the way away in Rome. You know, Paul was, as I say, he was imprisoned, and he must have had his concerns about the church in places like Colossae. He couldn't be there. He couldn't see what was taking place. We see when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he was concerned that because he was hindered to go to them, he was concerned as to whether they had fallen away. He couldn't know, he couldn't see how things were faring. But as he heard of Philemon showing such love, he was reminded that God was still working, that he was not the one that was needed, but God was needed, and God was working through his saints. And this comforted him. There's a proverb, Proverb 25:25, that says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a far country. And so as Paul heard of this news from a far country, from that city of Colossae, he was comforted. His heart was refreshed to hear of God's work. What this reminds us is that love is not only deep or cannot only be deep in its effect, but also broad in its effect. You see, this act of love, or these acts of love, were not only blessed to the saints who were the direct recipients of it, but also it was blessed to Paul, who heard of it. And so too, as we walk in love by the grace of God, we can pray not only that the works of our hands will be blessed to those that receive of them, but to those who may hear of them or see them. Not that we should trumpet our works, but in God's providence, as these things are seen, we can pray that they will be blessed, and even that the things that are unseen, perhaps especially the things that are unseen, will be blessed. The Spirit was working, not just stirring up and refreshing the hearts of the saints, but refreshing the heart of Paul in Rome. Just a few days ago, someone was speaking of George Mueller, who was used by God in many different ways, and he was used to build an orphanage and schools for needy children. The person was speaking of how a reading of him and his example encouraged them and even challenged them. It encouraged them to see someone or to read of someone who showed such love in their life when there's so little of that in the world around us. I checked and he died in 1898. So over 120 years later, that man's life is still a witness, encouraging and moving the people of God today. We all need to be challenged. At the same time, we all need to be comforted. And yes, the Spirit has been given to us as the people of God as a comforter. But we must not forget that the Lord, in his grace and in his power, is able to use his people as comforters. He's able to use and to establish the works of our hands. The works of our hands, they may feel so small and so little and insignificant, but the Lord can use them in profound ways. I remember in Pittsburgh, we went to a soup kitchen, and there was a lady there who'd worked there every week, and she'd lost a loved one. And one of the homeless men that were there, he heard this, and he that was there, he heard this, and he wanted to give something to her. So I saw him, he went into his pocket, and he took out 3 pistachio nuts and handed them to her. 3 pistachio nuts. And you could see the impact it had on her. The comfort, that act of love, little it may have seemed, but profound its effect on her own heart. And even today, I was simply watching on, and it rebukes me when I fail to show love myself, and it encourages me to walk in the love of Christ in my own life. Friends, you may feel weak. You may feel insignificant, but in another proverb, in chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 3, we're told to commit our works to the Lord. So as you walk in the ways of the Lord by his grace, pray, Lord, I'm weak. I am weak, but bless the works of my hands to the glory of your name and to the comfort of the souls of those around me and the blessing of their souls. So love refreshes because it gives joy and it gives comfort. Finally, and more briefly, but no less importantly, love refreshes because love gives Christ. Love gives Christ. Really, this is the most important point of all. All the love that Philemon showed towards the saints flowed from his love towards the Lord. And if we go back to the picture of water or of a river, when we think of a river flowing, every river will have a source. But you see, the source of Philemon's love was not actually ultimately in his love for the Lord, but the Lord's love for him. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, which is our greatest need, friends, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He so loved the world. Love is a fruit of his Spirit. So as he works in our hearts, as he brings forth that fruit of faith and repentance, so he brings forth the fruit of love in our lives. It's a fruit of God's love to us and his work in us. And we see this in the fact that Paul in verse 6, as he prays for the sharing of Philemon's faith, he says, I pray for the sharing of your faith that may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. In us for the sake of Christ. Later in the letter, after he makes the appeal, which we'll consider next week, Lord's willing, after he makes the appeal, he says to Paul in verse 20, essentially, Paul, I want you to do what I've asked of you. And at the end of that verse, he says, by doing this, refresh my heart in Christ. This is all in Christ, friends. Everything that I've said to you today is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in the life of Philemon. The Spirit was dwelling in Philemon's heart, as I've alluded to. He was dwelling in his heart as he dwells in the hearts of all God's people. And so as Philemon walked in love and gave of himself, there was a real sense in which he was giving of Christ because he was reflecting the love of Christ, the love of God that had been shone abroad in his own heart. And so as we serve the Lord, as we seek to walk in the ways of the Lord, we reflect the love of the Lord. That fragrance of Christ I mentioned at the beginning. Philemon's acts of love, they bore that fragrance because of Christ working in his own heart. To believe in Christ, there is nothing more vital. But to share and to give off the fragrance of Christ, surely nothing is more refreshing than that. Because he is the one souls need. So as I conclude, what we see in all of this is that yes, Paul was commending Philemon for living up to his name by being loving. Really, Paul was commending Philemon by God's grace for living up to the name Christian, loving in the name of Christ, and so lifting up the name of Christ. And with that in mind, we should note that this commendation of Philemon was really and ultimately a commendation of the Lord's work in Philemon's life. Verse 4, what does he say? He doesn't say, I thank you, Philemon. No, he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. And so with that in mind, yes, it's clear that Paul says, verse 7 to Philemon, I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. But friends, there's also a real sense in which Paul could have addressed this to the Father who is in heaven, in which we could say something similar to the Father who is in heaven. Could we not say to him this day, we have derived much joy and comfort from your love, our Father, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you as you have worked through this brother, Philemon, and still today speak through him and his life. Paul commended Philemon for his love, but really he was commending him for the love of the Lord working in him and through him. So, friends, May we be refreshed in the Lord this day. May we be refreshed in his love. And may the Lord be pleased to use us in the refreshing of the hearts of others. By his help, may we truly pray that we will live up to the name Christian, loving in the name of Christ, and so lifting up the name of Christ, thanking our God all the way. Amen.